the Lord willing, Brother Lance Heller will be going to New Guinea in just a couple of weeks, so I've asked him if he would tonight to bring our message, and we look forward to Lance bringing the message, always a blessing. I thought this afternoon, when I asked him, I didn't think about this, but it occurred to me, that message you preached on Hannah, I would have asked you to preach that again, but that was such a great message, wasn't it? Such an encouraging message, and I know we'll hear one again tonight. But Lance, you come and bring the message to us.
Good evening. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. And you know, there's times in all of our lives, I think, that the Lord brings sometimes dramatic events, climactic events, and nothing is ever the same after that. And I think you all probably understand what I'm speaking about. And one of those, of course, for Robin and I was the fall of our daughter last year. You know, it's hard to believe, but it's almost been a year since that occurred. And I can say for Robin and myself that nothing will ever be the same from that time. And I say that with thankfulness to the Lord. You know, it was a season of great distress for Robin and I. It surely was. I don't think I could adequately put into words all that the Lord, in his good providence, brought upon us. And I want to speak a little of that tonight from his word. And the Lord is so good. Amen. He's so good all the time. Amen. And, you know, it was a devastating accident that my daughter faced. But the Lord has brought about so much good. And he's taught us, in his mercy, he's taught us so much. And, you know, I think it speaks something to the hardness of our hearts, doesn't it? That often it takes things like this to teach us the good things of the Lord. And we have strong heads, don't we? And we're thankful that the Lord deals with us so graciously and so mercifully. And he did that with Israel, didn't he? And we speak, we will hear about that some tonight. But I'm thankful, too, to speak to you tonight. It's a great privilege for me. And, you know, knowing of your love for us and your care for Robin and I during that time was such a help and such a blessing to us. And, you know, David and I spoke together many times. And we were so thankful to the Lord for his grace and his wisdom. It was such a help to us. The reason I want to bring a message from this passage is it's a passage that the Lord used so greatly to speak to my heart during this time. And particularly as a minister of the gospel, the Lord brings these circumstances into your life, not only for your benefit, but for the benefit of those that he's given you the privilege to minister to. And so let's begin here in this chapter, Isaiah 43, and the title of the message comes from verse 2, where the Lord says, I will be with you. And this message is essentially the first part of a three-part series I brought to the brethren at the Sovereign Grace Church in the Dalles in Oregon towards the end of last year. Pastor Norm Wells asked me once Claire had sufficiently stabilized and was off the feeding tube and so forth to come up and preach to the folk there, and I had the privilege of doing that. And this message is really the first message that I brought. I will be with you. When we pass through the waters, the only thing that is important is the person referred to continuously throughout this chapter. Amen. You see, it's not the circumstances of our lives that are the important thing, nor is it you and me that are the most important thing. The only thing that matters is Christ. Amen. And the only thing which will ever matter is Christ with you. That's all that matters. Every rich blessing and promise flows from this wonderful source and this source alone. The psalmist in Psalm 121 cries out, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. The Lord and all that he's accomplished for his people is all that matters. Look in these verses, just in these first four verses, how powerfully and insistently the word of the Lord comes to Isaiah and emphasizes these wonderful truths. This is a magnificent passage, and we can't look at all of it, but let's just read these first four verses. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Well, let me just give you the points of this series of messages. I had 5 points. We'll just look at 2 tonight, but let me just give you these points so you'll see the flow of what I'm attempting to bring to you tonight. The first is, we will pass through the waters. We will. When you pass through the waters. We will pass through the waters. At some time, in some place, at some point in our lives, maybe more than once, we will. We will. When you pass through the waters. 2, the promise we have when we pass through the waters. I will be with you. And what a promise that is, isn't it? Amen. What a promise. The third point, the reason given for the promise, it gets better. I am your Savior, the Holy One of Israel. And it gets better. The foundation of the promise, the fourth point, I have redeemed you. That's a strong foundation, isn't it? It's not something that he will do or something that he might do. It's something that he's done. I have redeemed you. Now, that's a strong foundation. And then fifthly, the certainty of this promise. And that actually jumped down to verse 11, verse 13. And we'll see the certainty of the fulfillment of this promise. Who is it that makes this promise? Indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? You know, I think this promise is a promise that is as sure and as certain as any promise could ever be, don't you? I will be with you. And it's an ointment for the souls of the Lord's people, isn't it? In these times when we do pass through the waters, I will be with you. What a promise. You know, one of the richest blessings we have as the children of God is communion with God. In times of deep distress, he brings us by his grace to a place where everything in life recedes. Have you experienced that? Where all the things that we think are so important and we spend so much time thinking about, some good things. But at times he brings us to a place where everything in life recedes and our hearts and our minds become focused on all that matters. And the Lord alone is before our face. What a blessing. He makes his presence known to us and his word becomes so rich and so precious as he speaks to us. There's nothing to compare. There's nothing. When we pass through the waters, the Lord is with us, and he speaks to us by his word. He's our help, not anyone else, not anything else. He's our help. Any true help we receive flows solely from him alone. He may use instruments to bring this help to us, and he does. He does, as I just mentioned. But he's the source. He alone is the source. As David spoke to us on the phone and encouraged us, he encouraged us with words of truth. But they weren't his words, were they? They were the words of our Lord to us, comforting us and helping us. How important it is for you and I to understand this. Let me give you just a brief illustration of this. Many, many years ago, I don't even remember when, I preached a sermon from Psalm 42 at a church. And in that psalm, I think you know, we find a man who is in deep distress, great spiritual distress. He's fearful and he's perplexed. He's in sorrow, feeling as if the waves and billows have gone over him. And that he's been forgotten of God. And he cries out, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Where is help to be found?" Well, the psalmist, in God's grace, tells us himself. Later in that psalm, he says, "Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." You see, help is found in knowing God, in seeing him, seeing Christ by faith. Isn't that why we quote that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 so often? Because it expresses that truth so powerfully when we read that for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone into our hearts to give the light of what? The knowledge of the glory of God. Now, I think you and I will be helped by that, wouldn't we? The knowledge of the glory of God. And where do we find that? In the face of Jesus Christ. Knowing him by faith. And this is why our pastor has been emphasizing the importance of the attributes of our great God. Because the more we know him and understand him, look upon his face as he's revealed in his Son, how richly blessed we are as a people of God. But I preached that message, and I didn't know at that time there were three families in the church who'd lost a child in the previous couple of years. The one I do remember was so tragic, a 17-year-old in one of these arms that lift up to do work on an elevated location just crushed this son and destroyed his life. So tragic. I didn't know about that. Nor did I know anything by experience of what I was preaching about. I thought I did, but I didn't. I think I know maybe a little more. But the Lord graciously blessed that word preached. Why? Because the Lord had a message for those people. It was His word and His message. He was speaking to their souls, binding up the brokenhearted, comforting His people to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I was just the instrument through whom God spoke to His people. And that's always the way it is, isn't it? It always is. It's not my words that the Lord uses to speak to His people. It's His words. This is why the word that He's given to us is so important. So important. When we are in times of great distress of heart and soul, we look for a counselor, don't we? We look for a counselor. All men do. All men do. They're in trouble. They don't have answers, and they look for a counselor. Well, who is the counselor of the people of God? You know, this is an important question today. Did you know Bible college degrees now for biblical counseling? A person graduates at age 21 with a biblical counseling degree. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Who is the counselor of the people of God? You know, you don't need to turn there. In Isaiah chapter 9, we know that so well. So well. Those verses that are quoted so often. But towards the end of chapter 8, it speaks about the children of Israel being in trouble and darkness, gloom and anguish. A great disaster has been brought upon them, or prophesied of being brought upon them. And Isaiah 9 begins in this way, "Nevertheless, the gloom," and that's a powerful word, isn't it? The gloom, it connotes this hopelessness, darkness and despair, the gloom. "Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed as it was before." And why is that? Well, you know, just a little farther on in that chapter, it tells us, doesn't it? Why? Why will this gloom not be upon her who is distressed? "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." He's our counselor, isn't he? He's the counsel of the people of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ counsels the souls of his beloved. He will speak to us as only he can. And it seems that in times of deep distress that wherever you open his word, he's with you. And he speaks to you. And the word just becomes so rich. And this was true of me. Do you remember when we spoke about that? It seemed that every day that I would open the word, it didn't matter where I turned, the word spoke to me in richness. And it was, and I, for Robin as well, and it was such, the Lord, the rich, I can't even find the words. It was heaven on earth. It was. In the midst of this distress and despair, yet rejoicing because our Lord was with us and he was speaking to us. He makes you to lie down in the green pastures of his glorious gospel. He leads you beside the still waters of his mercy and his grace, and he restores your soul. He surely does. Well, we will pass through the waters. We will pass through the waters. This is the first point. When we pass through the waters, not if we pass through the waters, we know from the word of God and from experience that we will pass through the waters. And we will walk through the fires of this life. Note, this is a promise. You know, some we like certain promises, but this is a promise too. We will walk through it, pass through the waters. The promise isn't that we'll be kept from that. You know, this is a false message that's preached everywhere today, isn't it? You know, if you give your life to Jesus and all of this nonsense, that you'll be kept from all of these trials and difficulties of life. No, quite the opposite. The truth of the gospel says we will pass through the waters, but here's the wonder of it, that when we do, he'll be with us. He'll be with us. That the Lord will be with us in the midst of these afflictions. Turn to Lamentations chapter 3. I don't think there's hardly a book in the Word of God other than that which speaks of the great suffering of our Lord Jesus Christ that brings forth the great despair of that we can come to as a people of God. Lamentations, and that's the title of it, isn't it? Because these are the lamentations of the prophet Jeremiah as he looks upon the utter destruction and devastation of the children of Israel. And he weeps. He says, I think it's in this chapter, how his eyes were like rivers of water for the daughters of Jerusalem. And that's what this is about. But turn there to Lamentations chapter 3. And we will certainly in this life face times of real trials and great discouragements. When we pass through the waters, we're tossed by the waves of affliction. We're weighed down with grief and pain. And we try with all our strength to get to that safe haven. But the winds are blowing contrary to us in these times, aren't they? It seems that it doesn't matter what we do. We're not getting there. And it doesn't end either. You know, it's the storm rages unabated the whole night. I know many of you have experienced this, haven't you? The whole night. And maybe another night. And maybe another night. And we're exhausted with anxiety and fear. When this occurs, we know something of the experience of the prophet Jeremiah, who we'll see cries out, "My strength and my hope have perished from the Lord." You know, we think we won't get there, but sometimes we do. Here in Lamentations chapter 3, the Lord, look back up there in verse 20 of chapter 2. And the Lord has brought a great destruction upon the people of Israel and upon the city of Jerusalem. And many have perished by sword, the sword of the enemy, and famine. Look in verse 20. We read, "See," here's Jeremiah crying out, "See, O Lord, and consider, to whom have you done this? Should the women eat their offspring, the children they have cuddled?" What a famine. What a famine that the children, that women would consider consuming their own offspring, and did. And did. "Should the priest and the prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? Young and old lie on the ground in the streets. My virgins and my young women have fallen by the sword. You have slain them in the day of your anger. You have slaughtered and not pitied." This was a terrible, terrible devastation that was brought upon the city of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah, in deep anguish, in verse 3, look, he cries out, "I am a man who has seen the affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. Jump down to verse 8. When I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. Have you ever experienced that? He has blocked my way with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has put me, been to me a bear lying in wait like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. And then in verse 15, he has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. We will pass through the waters. And it may be that in the Lord's good providence, he may bring us to this place that he brought Jeremiah. We will feel like we're walking in darkness, our strength failing, surrounded on all sides by bitterness and woe. When Claire had her fall within days of our return from Papua New Guinea, we were told that the infection in her abdomen, this was after a series of surgeries, the infection in her abdomen was a life-threatening infection and that they were going to have to do a fourth surgery. We poured out our, like Jeremiah, we poured out our hearts like water before the face of the Lord for the life of our daughter. And a few days later, Claire developed double pneumonia. In grief and pain, we cried, Lord, help our daughter, for she is severely distressed. I prayed that. Do you recognize those words? They're the words of the woman of Canaan for her daughter. And, you know, I preached that passage so many times. What a glorious gospel passage is that passage of the woman of Canaan crying out for her daughter. And she says, oh, Lord, help. I think I know a little more of what that means. I prayed it. I prayed her words and many others. A day later, Claire developed acute respiratory distress syndrome and suffered total respiratory failure. That means that she was only being kept alive by the respirator. It seemed then that she wouldn't survive. And I understood a bit more of those words of Psalm 42, where we read, all your waves and billows have gone over me. Yes, sorrows like sea, billows rolled. We might not put into words, but we feel as if the Lord has shut out our prayers. He has made us desolate. He's moved our souls far from peace. It would seem that we're forgotten of God. Like Jeremiah, we might not put it into words, but we might think, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Until Jeremiah remembers. Look down at verse 22. Until Jeremiah remembers. Until he remembers the truth of God's word to his people. Look there in verse 20. My soul still remembers and sinks. Well, it says there sinks within me, but he's humbled. This is what he's saying. My soul is humbled within me when I recall to mind, and this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Listen to what he says. He recalls these glorious covenant promises of God to his people Israel Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. What mercies? What mercies? We deserve to be consumed, don't we? Yeah. Through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Here is this God full of compassion and plenteous in mercy. And when do those compassions fail? They never fail. They are new every morning. You know, you were playing that instrumental before the service, weren't you? Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Did you know it was in the middle of the book of Lamentations? Great is thy faithfulness. And then look there, you know, in verse 22, and then you know the only thing that matters. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will trust in him. That's all that matters. Isn't that all that matters? That we understand and recognize more and more that the Lord is my portion. He's all I need. He's all I'll ever need. He's all you need. He's all you'll ever need. And with that knowledge comes peace. It surely does. It surely does. Turn back now to our text in Isaiah 43. Here is this promise that we have when we pass through the waters. When we pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. In verse 2. When we pass through the waters, we don't pass through alone, do we? The Lord our God, our Savior, and our Redeemer will be with us. And this is all that matters. In Isaiah 49, we read these words. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. You know, isn't that you and I? So often, how little our faith is. Something else comes along. Well, the Lord has forsaken us. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. And here's the Lord's answer. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. And it's true, isn't it? It's true. It happens. It's hard to believe that a woman could forget her nursing child, the son of her womb. But it does happen. But here is what the Lord says. He says, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Can Claire be forsaken of the Lord? Claire is one of the Lord's. She's a daughter of Jerusalem. Can Claire be forsaken of the Lord? Can any one of his people? Can we be forgotten of him? Yes, a woman may forget her nursing child, but we'll never, never, never be forgotten of the Lord. The Lord will never forget. Why? Because he tells us himself. On that bloody day, the day of sacrifice, the day of sorrow, the day of redemption, he himself inscribed us upon the palms of his hands. He'll never forget us. How can he forget Claire? There she is, inscribed on the wounds of his hands. I will be with you. This is what he says. I will be with you. I think you know that Robin and I could not be with Claire in the very beginning. And even when, after a short period of time, the Lord worked so marvelously to enable us to be at the hospital each day, we still could not be with Claire other than being with her physically. She was under deep sedation, unconscious to our presence. She couldn't hear us speak. and she couldn't speak to us. And she just lay there. There's no greater feeling of helplessness for a parent than to be unable to help a child. No greater feeling. We couldn't be with her. But the Lord was with her, wasn't he?
Amen.
The Lord was with her by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was in her in his mysterious way, comforting her, bearing witness with her spirit that she is a daughter of God. Christ told his disciples when they were afraid of the loss of his presence. You remember so well. And he was going to leave them, and they're afraid. They're concerned about that. And he says, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. Yes, that's true. They'll no longer see his physical presence. But he says, but you will see me. And we do, don't we? You will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. And the promise that the Lord would be with his people is fulfilled completely, perfectly, fully through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And with this promise of this great comforter, the Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fear not, fear not. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Turn over to Psalm 139. Fear not, I will be with you. David just mentioned that message I preached in 2019 on Hannah's Hope. And the Lord directed me to this psalm in that message. And in looking back, I see the grace of God to me in giving me that message. He was preparing my heart and Robin's heart for this time of suffering in so many ways. So many ways. Have you done that? You know, at times you look back and you see how the Lord worked everything so well to prepare you and to help you. And this is what he was doing. That message I preached to you, but I found later it was a message to myself. And there were so many things like that. You know of Samson, the pastor who had the spinal TB and also suffered a period of great distress. And of course, during that time, I preached so many messages to help the churches there and help the pastors to look, for all of us to look at it in a right way from the Word of God. And all of the Lord was using all of that to prepare my heart for this time, this season of suffering and pain that we faced with our daughter Claire. He's so good. He's so good. But in that message, Hannah's Hope, I referred to this psalm in verse 1. Look there. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. The Lord knows Claire. He knows her sitting down. He knows her rising up. He knows of her massive injuries. He knows of her suffering and the pain. He knows of our fear and our anguish. He knows of the heartache He knows all of our ways. We poured out our souls to the Lord in tears and supplications. And there's not a word on our tongues, but the Lord knows it all together. He himself put those words in our hearts and on our lips to cry to him, to pray to him. And that's, he poured, I can't describe it any other way, as we came to him. He brought these things to our minds, words preached in this church, words that I had preached, words that we'd read, words that we'd fellowshiped with the Lord's people about, messages that I'd heard. He brought these things to our minds. And how important. Consider that. As you're sitting here, don't think. I know you don't. Don't think it's a waste of time. I know you don't. But it's far more than not a waste of time. It's a rich blessing to be sitting here, hearing the words of Christ preached to you. Look in verse 9 of Psalm 139. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. Claire was truly about as far away as anyone could ever possibly be in this world in a natural sense. The Lord brought Claire down into the depths of deep suffering, even to the place where she was walking through the valley of the shadow of death. She had come right to the edge of the precipice. Her surgeon described it that way. She said, I don't know if she'll move back or not. And the ground was beginning to crumble beneath her feet. But she was never alone. Never alone. Never alone. Her great shepherd was with her by his spirit, binding her up, caring for her with an indescribable love, holding her by his right hand. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. That's all that matters. It didn't matter. You know, the Lord brought us to that place where we actually, he showed us that it was better for Claire to die and go and be with the Lord if that was his will. It was better. It was better. He's the good shepherd. He gave his life for Claire as he did for all of his people. He's the good shepherd, and he will never leave her. He'll never forsake her. And like Jeremiah, we can be in an agony of suffering, an abundance of grief, our souls overwhelmed with anguish and pain. And in these times, we can find ourselves dwelling emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually in the uttermost parts of the sea, seemingly beyond all help. And we've seen that, haven't we? So many times. I know you have. Oh, everything that man can do to help has failed. Has failed. Dwelling in the uttermost parts of the sea. But even there, the Lord is with you. Even there. Even there, your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. The mighty right hand of the Almighty God shall hold me. Even there, even there. Let us believe these things. In our soul anguish, we can come to a place of real darkness. The night of sorrow, the night of pain and anguish, the night of bitterness of soul, the night of fear and loneliness. It seems it never ends at times, doesn't it? It's encompassing all around us, falling in upon us. But look at verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. Yes, you will pass through the dark waters, but they'll not overflow you. You will pass through the fires of affliction, but you will not be burned. They'll not scorch you. You see, the Lord makes the good things of our lives good for us, and he makes the bad things of our lives good for us too, doesn't he? He surely does. The Lord makes even the darkest circumstances of his people to shine as the day. The darkness and the light, they're both alike to him. Verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Claire's days and our days were fashioned for us before we were ever formed. Think about that. Your days. Every day. Every day. Every one of your days were fashioned for you before you were ever formed. Yes, for us, these days of sorrow and anguish, these days of bitterness of soul, these days of affliction and suffering, fashioned for us by everlasting love. A love that has no beginning and no end. An everlasting love. Not one thing is outside of the knowledge, outside of the power, outside of the providence of the Holy One of Israel. He works all things together for good. You know, those verses just roll off our lips, don't they? Believe them. He works all things together for good, fashioned by him according to his everlasting love for his people. Oh, beloved, our ways aren't his ways, and our thoughts are not his thoughts. Here we are. Here you and I are like Jacob, just worms, just worms. His thoughts are too high. They're too broad. They're too deep for us. His thoughts toward us are wise, and they're so gracious. Look in verse 16. What kind of thoughts does the Holy One of Israel think towards his people? Verse 17, how precious also are your thoughts of me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more than the number of the sand. Think of that. Sit down there on any beach, and start counting those grains of sand. More than the number. Not just of that beach, but of every beach in the entire world. This is not an exaggeration. The word of God is not hyperbole when it speaks of this. If you and I could understand, if we could see all that God has done, we would understand that they are his blessings toward us. His thoughts toward us are countless, immeasurable, infinite and eternal. Fear not, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. You know, and when we pass through the waters, we feel as if he surrounded us with walls of bitterness and woe, as Jeremiah says. He's hedged us in so we can't escape. That was the feeling of Jeremiah. Where is there escape from this disaster? He's hedged us in. But it's the exact opposite, isn't it? The exact opposite. In Isaiah 26:1, we read, he surrounds us with walls of salvation. 26 verse 1 says, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. And we have a strong city, don't we? We have a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. What has he surrounded us with? He's surrounded us with salvation on every side. Yes, it's true. We can get to a place like Jeremiah when we feel that God has moved our souls far from peace. And we cry out, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. But no. When we begin to think right, when we dwell upon his word, upon his truth, upon the gospel of his grace and his son towards us, when we look upon his face, then from our hearts and from our souls, we cry like Jeremiah. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. What a rich blessing to have that knowledge. The Lord is my portion. He's all. He's all I need. He's all you will ever need. He's my portion. Therefore, I hope in him. Amen.